All of you, the first time of the year. Because I would be here at this time. But I really wanted some silent retreat for myself. Especially with so much happening in India. Our traveling plans and doing lots of talks and lots of activities. I really thought I should take some time for myself first in my room. So, this time I have taken the theme for the three talks, the foundation of self-realization. Because we have been going speaking general talks many, many times. I thought we can go a little bit in depth to the philosophy of Mahavira and study a little in detail what this philosophy is talking about. On a very beautiful summer afternoon, Father took his young son to a garden. And the son, when he entered the garden, he saw that the garden was filled with beautiful flowers, filled with lovely bed of flowers and bushes, and surrounded by green trees. When he went closer to the plant, he saw a velvet petals of a newly opened flower. And the diversity and the gorgeous nature of different flowers and trees. And the trees blossomed with fruits and flowers, and it added an extra dimension to the touching beauty of that garden. But his very mind, his innocent mind, could not withhold himself in his innocent curiosity. So he asked him that, what is the secret behind this beauty and bounty in nature? What is the secret? Only the innocent mind sees beauty everywhere in everything. And a philosopher beautifully said that each one sees what one carries within. So one of the lessons that we have to learn in life is to, this is a very hard lesson which most of us fail to learn, is to see the divine, the celestial, the pure in the common, the near at hand. When we see heaven that lies about us, right here in this world, but we fail to see that. So when the innocent boy asked the father the question, that what is the secret of this beauty and bounty, the father could not fathom the depth of this question. So he brushed away his son's question, thinking that he was a bit silly. He did not answer the question. But when you are curious, you will find the way. So the son saw in the distance that the farmer was sending the animal children and looking after the lambs. So he ran to the farmer. When he asked the farmer, could you tell me what is the secret behind this elephant and fruits and flowers and lovely fruits from the trees? So the farmer, looking at the boy's decent eyes, in the curiosity on his face, he held him by his hand and took him to the man. And opened the barrel and showed him lots of teeth. And he told the boy that this is the secret of his beauty and bounty. The secret lies in the seed. If the seeds are good, the fruits and flowers will be good and beautiful. If the seeds are not good, then you will get weeds. But you will not get beautiful flowers. And when we think about this incident, when we think about it deeply, it is something that applies to our life. That whatever we see today in our life is because of yesterday. And whatever we will do today will determine our tomorrow. So when we know that what we are today is because of tomorrow, so we stop rationalizing, we stop analyzing things, because we know that that kind of seed has been sown in our ignorance in the past. And we are eating the fruits of those seeds. And today, whatever we do, we will determine our tomorrow. So, then we know this. What do we do about it? The philosophy of Maharaja says that the Jain Dharma has eternal principles and eternal laws. The laws that can never be changed. So Jain Dharma describes these eternal principles, eternal laws and principles. So why do we use the word Dharma and not something else? Dharma has many different connotations in Jain philosophy. Dharma, first of all, means Vartu Sahao Dhammaha, nature of the thing. Everything, nature of the thing. When we think about sugar, we say, what is the nature of the sugar? It's to be sweet. nature of the tree is to be healthy. Nature of salt is to be salty. Nature of lemon is to be sour. In the same way, what is the nature of self? The nature of self is infinite perception, infinite knowledge, infinite energy, and infinite force. That is the dharma, that is the nature of the self. Nature of matter is to be cold. However you, how much you heat up the water, ultimately after some time it's going to come back to its nature. How much we try to change the nature of sugar, coat it with bitter things and everything, that's what we will go back to its original nature. So, our nature, which is infinite knowledge, infinite vision, infinite bliss, infinite energy, is not experienced. That is our nature, but the nature has been covered by matter. So we cannot experience power through nature. So dharma, one of the meaning of dharma is nature, as a thing. The second meaning of dharma means that which helps us or lifts us from falling down. We can call it the inner world. When we are about to do something which is not honest, which is not good, which is not right, the inner world wakes up and tells us, hey, what are you doing? Stop doing that. That in the same philosophy we call dharma. That which helps you from falling down. The third meaning of dharma is duty. It is my duty as a mother to do certain things for the children. It is the duty of the father to do this. It's the duty of the soldier to do this. So it's a duty. And the fourth meaning of dharma means religion. Here, the word dharma we are using for self-realization, to find out who we really are. So, we have three eternal principles, eternal laws that one must remember, that one must understand. The first one is that whatever I sow, I will reap. Whatever I sow, I will reap. When we understand that law, whether we believe it, whether we accept it, whether we acknowledge it or not, the law is law. Truth is truth, it cannot change. So, as soon as we know that whatever I sow, I will reap, the moment we accept that law as truth, we will stop blaming others. We will stop making others responsible for whatever is happening to us. We will stop talking and putting others down, that he was the person, she was the person who made me like this, who, and that is the reason I'm suffering. We blame our parents, we blame our teachers, we blame our doctors, we blame our boss, we blame others for whatever is happening in our life. But the law says that whatever you have sown, you will reap. So that is the first law, is whatever I sow, I will keep. The second one is that whatever is new becomes old. Whatever is new becomes old. Because sometimes what happens is that we are sitting to although we are not happy for some reason, and we are sitting in the room. And all of a sudden, a beautiful music is playing. We take a past incident in our life, and we go back into the memory. And we remember those days. And we become so happy. And we are in the past, indulging in the past, thinking about the past. What wonderful the days were, and how lovely. There was no problem. Everything was okay. And in that memory we are dwelling, and we, all of a sudden someone comes and wakes us up, and we are back into the present. So we come back into the present with a smile. But as soon as we realize that the smile was because of the past, not because of the present, we become upset. We become unhappy. What is new becomes old. This also will become old. Today what is new will become old. What was in the past was new at that time, it has become old. So there is no sense of holding on to the past, no sense of dwelling in the past and letting the present moment go by. Because when one dwells in the past, and loses the charm and the happiness of the present. So, the second one is that whatever is new becomes old. And the third one is whatever I don't choose, I lose. Whatever I don't choose, I lose. So what do I don't choose? The time. If I don't use the time creatively, if I don't use the time properly, if I don't use the time for self-introspection, for meditation, I'm just sitting and dwelling in the past, becoming unhappy, becoming sad, thinking how good it would be if I had this. We are not living in the present. We are losing the time. So whatever I don't use, I lose. These three eternal laws help us to move forward in life. And when we realize that the self, is capable of achieving whatever one wants to, because it has infinite energy. So what is it that is stopping us from not achieving? What is it that we cannot realize in this life, at this moment, is the past condition. The past condition does not allow us to really understand who we are. Once we understand that, then nothing can stop us from moving forward. So these are the three eternal laws, and there are four principles that support this law. In Jain philosophy, these four principles help us to understand our present condition. The first unit, man's personality is dual. Because man is a combination of material and spiritual. And that is why someone has very beautifully said that we are not human beings with material experience, but we are spiritual beings, we are human beings with spiritual experience. We are not material. We are spiritual beings with material experience. So, when we say that man is has a dual personality, means food is a combination of matter and soul. Since time immemorial, the soul has been covered with matter. As the gold is found with the trust in the mind, in the same way, since time immemorial, the soul is found with matter. And as long as the soul or the self, or the divinity, or the light, or Atma, is found with matter, it cannot act the way it wants to act. Because when we are about to act, sometimes the past condition covers our consciousness and does not allow us to see the way it is. And that past condition we call karma. That karma does not allow us to see the way we want to see. So most personalities dual. The second one is man is not perfect. And this principle is based on the first principle. He is not perfect until the rock has been removed, until matter has been removed. So man is not perfect, as long as man is in the company of matter. So we are striving to be perfect. We are striving to improve ourselves, but we cannot even have changed that because the past conditioning, the past material, the matter that covers the consciousness, the layers are so many that to remove those layers, it is a work of the consciousness. We have to work to remove the layers. But before we can remove the layers, with one effort, a couple of tries is enough. Because we want instant results. We want instant answer. But we forget that those layers and the consciousness are so strong and so powerful that to remove that, we need a more powerful energy to remove the matter. But once when we realize that I am immortal, and this is odorless entity, I am eternal, I am infinite energy. And whenever the condition comes on the consciousness is aware and does not react. We cannot direct the wind. We cannot direct the wind, but we certainly can change our face. What happens in the universe, we cannot change that, but we can change our reaction towards the things. So we react, we act by not reacting. So we change our attitude towards things. But that realization comes when we know that we are not more perfect, we are striving to be perfect. So I cannot expect too much from myself as perfect because the action and reaction are equal and opposite. How much effort we put, that much result is going to come. So if our effort is less, the result is going to be less. If our effort is more, the result will be more. So, when the fear just standing in meditation. Harrison was a great actor conquering India. Had heard about lots of moons and fears of India. And he wasn't even waiting to meet someone. He was capturing and conquering all the boundaries of India. He was returning back to Macedonia. And on the way, he saw this fear meditating. So he ordered the soldiers to go and capture him and bring him to Macedonia. So the soldiers are going and telling the seer, who is in deep meditation, disturbing him, he tells the seer, our King Alexander the Great wants to see me, so you have to come with me. So the seer, who is intoxicated in his own inner wealth, in self-realization, he said, who is your king? Not even heard of me. And why should I come to you? Why should I come to you? If he wants to meet me, he can come to me. The soldier said that you don't know. If you don't listen and obey the orders, he will kill you. He said, I'm not afraid of dying. So this whole different and very Alexander. That he is refusing to come, and he says he's not afraid of dying. Alexander started wondering, what is it that he has and gives him this power to even challenge the king? What is it that he has that I don't have? He tells the soldiers that take me to him. He goes to the seer and asks him, are you not afraid of death? Are you not afraid to die? The seer said, I'm not afraid of death. So why not? He says, what you see, what you don't see does not die, and what you see perishes. And I know the difference. I know the difference between matter and soul. And I am that Atma, indestructible energy. I am that energy that cannot perish. And I know the difference. So if you want to kill me, I'm ready for that. Because the Atma will not die. And I just want to hold the conviction in this fierce talk. His eyes could say so many things. He requested him that, could you come to my palace and give me more? Make me understand. Because Alexander had not left any place that he did not rob, capture, or destroy. So it is said that the seer went to Alexander in his palace, taught him the philosophy, and then Alexander died. He told his men that, please remember to keep my two hands out of the coffin. And let the world see that Alexander the Great also could not take with him a tiny little measure. His hands were empty. So all the bounty, the wealth, the passion that I tried and captured and conquered is meaningless. I also had to leave everything behind. so noisy when you experience and it can do anything. We feel empowered. We feel strong that we can do anything. So man is not perfect based on the first one, that man has dual personality, because man is a combination of material and spiritual. The third principle is, man is the master of his material nature. Now we are going a little further, that we know that we can master the material. We can overcome the matter. We can overcome the karma. Any conditioning with understanding. Any conditioning with knowledge. Any clear. That we have sown in the past, we come into fruition with patience, with understanding, with knowledge. If we let it be, it will drop by itself. So we are the master of our material nature. Because material nature, the karmas are not powerful than Atma. Atma is more powerful than karmas. But we have become the servant and allowed the karmic conditioning to rule over us. So, even though man is not perfect, his spiritual efforts can make and control his material nature. It's the spiritual effort that we make can help us to control our material nature. So through meditation, through introspection, through self-study, we can control the influence of the matter. And the fourth one is, man alone is responsible for his future. When we know this, we know that whatever we do today determines tomorrow. So what do we do today? Today, we try to live a life that is full of reverence. Reverence for oneself and reverence for others. As soon as we see Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu, life in each and every living being, we will start respecting the life, and we will start respecting our life. Because we know that whatever I do today, I'm going to sow the seeds for tomorrow. So, let me change my today. Let me determine my future by making right choices today. So, Kali has very beautifully said that between a stimulus and a response, there is a tiny space. Between a stimulus and a response, there is a tiny space. And in that space, life, your freedom, you choose your response. And in the choices that you make, lies your happiness and peace of mind. If only we can understand this, we can change our tomorrow. Because what happens is, we are so fast in reacting that the space that has been given to us, we are not aware of that space. That between a stimulus and a response, there is a tiny space, and that space we have to capture. You are getting angry at me for some reason. So you have become a stimulus. And I am going to respond to your anger. But when you are stimulating me by saying bad words, there is a space before I respond to the person. If I am aware of that space, I may choose not to respond. And on that choice that I make of not responding, I will feel happy and I will feel have peace of mind. But if I respond negatively to that anger that has been triggered by the other person, what happens? That after getting angry, I have spoiled my mood, spoiled the other person's mood, and I have become, at the end, I have become unhappy. So, Mahavira says that when you have been given that space, we are aware of that space. But we in our busy life, chaotic life, we hardly can capture that space. We hardly can wait to react. And we have been made to believe that if we don't react, we are weak. It's just a fact. But the philosophy says something different. That if you don't react, you're earning more points than by reacting. Because when you react, you have started the domino effect of the karma. And then what happens is, there is no difference between the wise and the foolish. Because we are also not, we also put ourselves in the same category as the other person. So when we see that space and use it with understanding, I think we save ourselves from a lot of karmic bondage. But the question then arises, but should we always bear the burden of someone else's anger? No. That's not what the point is. Definitely after some time when the person comes down quietly, you can definitely talk to the person and say, hey, why did you get angry at me? What was the reason? Without getting angry and disturbing our inner peace of mind, we can confront that person and tell the person that it really hurt me when you said this thing. But not at that moment, because at that moment when we react, we are already heated up because of the anger. So we don't know how we are going to react to it. We may become more than nasty. We may react more strongly than the other person stimulating us. But the thing is to keep quiet. Let the space pass by. Make the choice not to react. we help ourselves from a lot of bad situations. So when you know that today, the belief tomorrow, there are so many things we can change in life. There are so many things we can put into right perspective and make life more livable. But today what we have done is, we feel that the life is more like a march than like a dance. I think we are there to solve a mathematical problem. It's not solving a problem. Life is beautiful. If it is taken as a dance, 2 steps forward, 1 step backward. We're moving in the rhythm. Sometimes together, sometimes alone. And in that music of life, we move forward in rhythm, in harmony, and peacefully. But we are, it's like a march for us. There's line of soldiers march to the prescribed order. So there is no rhythm. There is no music. There is no dance. And let us take life one at a time, one at a time. One day, moment by moment. Because as we live moment by moment, it is not overwhelming. But when we think about too many days and too many months and too many years, it's overwhelming. Because we don't know how long we are going to live. We don't even know that we are going to see tomorrow. So why not live in the present, in the moment, right now? So when we know the eternal laws in these 4 principles of life, we get a little understanding about who we are. It is only Jainism who talks about these principles. They say that it is pertinent to know that this principle is only talked about by Jainism. Christianity, Islam, and Hinduism, they don't talk about these kind of principles. According to Jainism, no God is the creator, nor his prophet or deputy or beloved can interfere with the destiny of any being. It's really nice and beautiful said that Jainism does not believe, Jain Dharma does not believe God as a creator. And nor does his prophet or his deputy interfere with the destiny of anyone's life. Or with creation of the universe or with any happening in the universe. Because Hindus believe that the world has been created by God. The Jain Dharma says that the universe was, is, and will be. So no one can disturb our destiny. No superpower can disturb our destiny. Our destiny is determined by our own self. We are the ones who determine our future. So our future is not in the hands of God, or any prophet, or any superpower, the future is in our own hands. So when we feel and know this truth, we feel empowered. We feel that we can do anything we want to do. We can change our today. We can change ourselves with the process offer meditation, introspection, and self-realization. 2 minutes later, just meditate. I lead you to a guided meditation. Let us drop all the tension and relax completely. Feeling the shoulders, the tension in our hands and feet, it is completely relaxed. Rhythmically, and relax. Tell yourself that you are releasing all the tension in the body. Become like a sponge. Release and soft and gentle. Let go of all your tension. Say to yourself that I release my anger. Letting go of my fears. Let go of all the guilt and all the old conditioning. of the human beings. It's spiritual experience. We are not matter. Anger, jealousy, guilt, they are not the nature of the consciousness. So let go of them. Drop it. So that we can experience our true nature. Slowly breathing. And tell yourself that I'm breathing in. Breathe out. And tell yourself that you are breathing out. In this way, the mind can concentrate on the breath. And focusing on the breath, we can deepen our meditation. Let go of all the past. It's dead. It is already buried. Let us come back in the present. Because that is the reality. Past is gone. Future is not seen. The only thing that we have with us is today. Let us unburden ourselves from the strangling sensation of the past. Please, let go. we are pure divine consciousness. And it is a free-flowing energy. Energy that animates all the parts of the body. Holding on to our prejudices. Our hatred, our jealousy, we are stopping the flow of the energy of the consciousness. Let go. In bondage. So that our hands can become free. Holding on to the tree, we cannot move forward. Let us free ourselves from this bondage.